Let's look on your sheet. We've been in a series called Whatever Things Are True. We're on part 7. And you know the way we think, we just get into these things and we'll go till it's time to unhook. You never complete a subject, but you get into them, and when it's time to unhook and to go on to something else, we will. But these things usually grow. And we'll just hit the things we need to hit, and when it's time to move on, at the end of the service, we'll be done, and then we'll pick it up next time, unless there's something else that God would want us to cover. Philippians 4, 8, and 9, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Just looking at that list, look at that. Whatever things are true, number one, that's the thing we're focusing on. But whatever things are noble, well, all these things in the rest of the list, they would be true as well. If things are noble, that's truth. That's the way God has set things up, and thank you, Lord. What's the word I'm looking for? The way, ideally, the way He has ordained things to be. So many of these things we're reading here, things that are noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report. These things, how many of you know, in this day and age, so much of that has been twisted? You know, people will mock things that are considered noble or virtuous or pure. And the things of God, the way God has ordained things to be, the way God has set things up in His wisdom, those values and those ways of doing things have been and are being challenged and mocked. Whenever you hear somebody mocking things, that's devilish. God does not mock. God is not sarcastic. Did you know that? There's a line there. We can have fun, but when you're sarcastic, I found, and I think you can know it's true, when there's sarcasm, there's bitterness somewhere in there. There is. There's always an underlying anger. There's something, you know, somebody tries to mask it with sarcasm and being, quote, funny. Now, there's good, pure humor, but when you're constantly being sarcastic or mocking, that's devilish. Did I lose somebody? God is not sarcastic. He's straight. If He was sarcastic, you know, when somebody's sarcastic, sometimes people are like, "Are you serious? Or are you just being sarcastic?" Or if they're sarcastic and they're real deadpan, somebody will go, you know, they take them seriously. "Well, I was just being sarcastic. That was sarcasm." Now let me ask you, there's an element of, is that true? Is that non-true? Are you being serious? I don't know. That's an element of deception. That's an element of not truthfulness. God's not like that. When God says something, He means what He said. He said exactly what He means. There is no ambiguity. You can take it. He is not one that would say something and say, "Ah, I'm just kidding." Did I lose you? We got to watch, because the world today is so sarcastic, so mocking, so biting. Mock everything. Mock every institution. Nothing is holy. Nothing is beyond being made, quote unquote, fun of. But people are treading into things they know not of. When they mock Jesus, they have no idea what they're doing. Mocking the Lord, who died and gave His precious blood for them, and they mock Him. Those soldiers that mocked Jesus. Good night. Hit Him and said, "Prophesy." They had no clue what they were doing. They're mocking Him. Make a crown of thorns. Said, "Well, He saved others. He couldn't save Himself." They have no idea. They had no idea what they were doing. And Jesus said, forgive them. That doesn't mean that's the right attitude. We have people that nothing is beyond being made fun of or mocked. Nothing's held sacred anymore. But we ought not to be like that. There is a God, and He is an awesome God. And in the church, we do need a good dose of reverence in the church. The church has gone, thank God for His grace and His mercy, but you can go so far over that people don't hold anything. They've run so, yeah, legalism was over here. And so people, sometimes they run so far over, they get free, and then they don't want anything that looks like anything reverent, because, oh, I don't want to be in bondage. We serve a living God. We serve a God, and we are supposed to walk in fear of Him. That's not run away scared, but in awe. You don't just do anything in His presence. Amen. I don't know why we're getting off on this, but we're here. There is a holiness element to the Christian life. That means set apart. That means you look at this list, there's so many people, they despise Christianity. They despise things that are noble and just and good. We, on the other hand, are supposed to be set apart. That's not legalism. That's being godly. Amen. And I do believe we will come back in this day and age. As things ramp up, you talk about a revival. There will be a revival. But when there is a revival like there's going to be, there will be a return to holiness more so. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about being set apart to God. And God's power, when He starts demonstrating it in that type of atmosphere, is not to be trifled with. We don't just take it lightly. And it is not Him that is trying to hurt people. But Ananias and Sapphira happened in the New Testament. That is not Old Covenant. That's right. Yeah. They were so bold as to lie to the Holy Spirit. They took God's grace so loosely that they went in the middle of God's called people, the apostles of the early church, and the Holy Spirit, I mean, let alone those people, God Himself. You don't think God knows what's going on? And they boldly came up and lied. And what happened? They died. That's not Old Covenant. That's now. We're in the Acts. Now, we're not under that type. I don't believe we're in that type of revival yet, but we will be. Does that mean God's mean? That doesn't mean He's mean. That means His power is real. We need to reverence Him. And as we reverence Him, I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about the awe of God. Respect. Amen. Respect. You guys know in a family, I mean, children ought to respect their parents. That doesn't mean the parents don't love them. That doesn't mean they don't have fun with them. There's a time to have fun, and then there's certain times. You guys know what I'm talking about. If you've been parents, there is a certain time and place when you're worse with certain people, you're in certain situations, this is not the time to jack around. Is that right? And you will have wrath from a parent if the kid starts doing stuff when they're not supposed to do things. Is that true? Yes. Does that mean the parent's just so mean-hearted, so hard-hearted? That does not mean that. That means there's a time and a place, and you need to know what to do in which. Now, God is very merciful and gracious when somebody doesn't know. But we ought not to push that. And there are some things we ought to know. I believe that's why we're touching on some of this now. We ought to know. We ought to know. Amen. And we'll find the more that we're yielding to Him. Hallelujah. The more we're respecting the things of God and Him, we will see certain things in our life line up. If we're not so loose with some of the things of God. getting ahead of myself a little bit, but we can't expect to just let anything come out of our mouth and act like God's, like it doesn't matter what we say, but then when we speak to the devil, now we mean business. We ought to know, we ought to live in a way that lines up with His Word, and watch the things that we say. Watch what we behave. There ought not be, well, again, don't take me wrong, good, clean fun is okay. But people ought not to always try to figure out if we're serious or not. That's a problem. Well, I don't know if he's joking or not. You just never can tell. Let me ask you a question. Is that a characteristic of God? I just can't tell if you're serious. How would you know anything in the Word? Just can't tell if that's you really mean it. You can't take anything to the bank then. People ought to be able to say, if he said it, that's what he means. We ought to be at a level of transparency. They ought not to have to try to figure out what we're saying. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's all good. I'm not going to take any of it back. Hallelujah. Praise God. It says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report, there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We've been talking about whatever things are true. Is it true? Is it true? Are things true? We ought not to meditate on anything that's not true. We ought to cast it out. The New Living Translation says, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true. And honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. And then we read, I'm going to recap some of this just really quick. So we have some folks that haven't heard some of this, just to get us on the same page. But let's read through these scriptures. John 8 says, 44 says, you are of your father the devil. This is Jesus talking to the religious leaders. He said, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. See, there's no truth in him. There's no truth in Satan. God is pure. These things, when we're talking about being pure, what does that mean? Pure, that means it's not contaminated. Well, Satan's the exact opposite. He's not, quote, if you want to say it this way, he's not contaminated with any truth. He's just complete contamination, complete muddiness. There's no truth in him. But in God, there is nothing but truth. You see what I'm saying? There is nothing even a little bit wrong in God. That's our Father. That's who we're supposed to emulate. Our behavior ought to be like, it's just true, it's pure. Now, we're not going to act everything perfect. I understand that. But we ought not to tolerate things. We ought not to knowingly let some of this stuff in. Is God gracious and merciful? Of course He is. But we ought not to just let things in and play with stuff. Because anything that's not truth, anything that's not pure, leans toward the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He's a liar. Liar, 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 liar. That's what he does. He lies. So we talked about, we have to know that the foundation, the source of lying is the enemy, and that's where we're going, is to build on that part. Revelation 12:9 says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. That's what he does, he deceives. We'll come back to that. Second Corinthians 4:3 says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Blinded with what? Blinded with all the things that are opposite to this verse in Philippians we read. He's blinded them with things that aren't noble, aren't just, aren't pure, aren't lovely, aren't good report. He's made it cool to mock. If you're pure, you're simple, you're ignorant. Do you see how he's twisted stuff? Well, you just don't know. You got to be in the know. You know you're not cool. You took me literally. I was just joking. Anybody, you know what that feeling when you've been caught, you take somebody literally and they say, nah, you know, man, you didn't know that? I that was sarcasm. What does that make you feel like? Like a fool? But that's cool. People say, oh, that's cool. You don't know? Come on, lighten up. But I don't know if you're telling the truth. I don't know what you're saying. So what is that? Sets me up to look stupid. Think that's the way God operates? I got you, you idiot. That's wicked. Satan would do that. Satan would do that left and right, but God doesn't. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say therefore and testify to the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. But everybody's doing it. So what? Everybody who? Well, this is just the way people operate now. Yeah, that's part of the problem. Well, we just got to reach people. How are you going to reach them, though? Be like them? Then where are they going to go? If you're going to, everybody in the church is going to be like them, then where are they going to go to get the truth? Does it make any sense? Reach them, yes. Act like them, no. That you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So Satan is the god of this world. He's blinded people. He's blinded people without God. He is the deceiver. He's the father of lies. 2 Corinthians 11, then, we read a few weeks ago. He says, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed to you one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, we spent some time on the simplicity. I don't have time to recap all that. But that means, doesn't mean, you know, plain. It means opposite of duplicity. It's singleness, single-minded, focused. So in Christ, we're supposed to be focused. We're supposed to be single-minded. We're supposed to be about the Father's business. But Satan would try to get us out of that. He tries to get us to be complex into all these different things. Diverted. Distracted. Busy. The world is busy. Quote, unquote, busy. Busy with what? At the end of the day, what did you do that was so great? If you don't go about God's business, and we're through this life just a few years, what did we do? Well, I was busy. Busy with what? What did you do? It's all done. The earth's burned up. So what part did you do? Well, that was my house and my car. Well, it's all melted. Back to iron and plastic, and I mean, it's just gone. I was something. Can you show me where it is? Well, it's not there anymore. So what did you do that has lasting significance? But I was busy. See, Satan knows God. He knows who God is. He hates God. He knows who Christians are. He hates us. He knows people that are inching towards falling in to the body of Christ, and so he tries to do everything he can to stop that. If he can't stop it, he just tries to stop the Christian. But if we'll know our rights and privileges in Christ, he can't do that either. But he will try to distract. He will try to get us off. Well, they're in the family. Nothing I can do about that. So if I can just get them to waste the next 70 years of their life, though, being busy, doing stuff, I diffuse them. So here's what he does. So he is constantly trying to do this. So we spent some time on that. And talked about a little bit last week, false arguments and things that people expect or people have held as true that aren't true. Well, you ought to do this, you ought to do that. Who says who? Does the word line up with that? And we spent some time there. Well, let's read, let's go over and turn, I think, in the Word now. This is what we're going to get into today. 2 Corinthians 10. We spent a little bit of time kind of on the side last week on this, but I think we've been leading up to some of this for weeks now. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. Or it's on your sheet. Everybody there?
Yes.
It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." So though we're in the natural, we don't do everything according to the natural. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and everything, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Let's read that on your sheet in the Amplified. It says, "For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overflow and overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Now this right here, where we're going to sit, I believe, for a little bit. What does this look like, and what are we talking about? Specifically, verse 3, let's read it again in the Amplified. "For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying out our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare..." Everybody realize we're in a war as a Christian. Do you realize that? Does everybody realize we are? Paul talks about it, you know, as a good soldier. Now, that doesn't mean... I know people have gotten flaky. Again, people get flaky with everything. It's not just Christians that get flaky. Just go Google around. You know, go look at YouTube and see all the stupid stuff people do. They do dumb stuff. People take a truth and they'll just run it into the wall until they splatter. I mean, they do weird stuff. So yes, people have thought, well, I'm in a war, Christian-wise, and so they get weird. You know, people march in different ways. I mean, you know, just stuff, it is flesh. They talk about spiritual stuff, but then they get into the flesh. Well, and then people back off. Well, I don't want to be like that. I won't be like that. Those people, they're weird. The Spirit-filled people, they're weird. Well, yeah. I mean, I grew up in Spirit-filled churches. You can see some weird stuff. But you can see weird stuff everywhere. Go to a bar. Let me rephrase that. Don't go out and say, "Pastor Jim told you to go to a bar." How should we say this? There are things that go on in bars. So how do you know? That's a different subject. I did stuff in college, you know, we're not going to even go there. But there are places. I've been to New Orleans and Mardi Gras. Now, when I went to New Orleans, I was with a Christian organization. We went there specifically as an outreach. And you try not to look at the stuff. There's all kinds of stupid stuff going on around you. It's sad. But yeah, you don't have to go into a spirit-filled church to see weird stuff. No. You can see it right out in the world with people that are far away from God. But yes, yes, people have done weird stuff. But, you know, that's what the devil does. Again, he's a deceiver. If he can't get people to back off and not get saved, if he can't get people to not get in a certain truth, what he likes to do is just ram it right past the middle of the road and ram it right up against the wall so that it will get weird so that people will back off the truth. This is what he does. And he's done that with thing after thing. Okay, so just because we're in a war, you are in a war. If you're a Christian, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, you're in a war and you have a mark on you and you're a target. Some people are like, well, I don't want to be in the war. Devil doesn't care. If you're Christ, if you're God's child, you are targeted. Now, what you need to know, this is what so many Christians don't know, is that they have any kind of rights and privileges in Christ and that they've been delivered. So yes, we're in a war, but then some people get off and they think, oh, good night, the devil, he's strong and powerful. What am I going to do against him? And he's big and wicked and these big spirits. And oh, and then they get all weird and try to get in the flesh to try to take these things out. And what we need to know as Christians, that we have triumph over them. God, through Christ, came to the earth and he made a show of them openly. He defeated them. He ran them through the streets and said, they are nothing. He's brought them to naught. We need to know that so that when they try to come against us, we say, oh no, you have no authority. None over me. None over my family. None over my children. You have zero. But he likes to try to portray himself as somebody strong and powerful. Now don't get me wrong, he is a powerful being. But he's only powerful to people that fear him. We'll see that. He can't just go. He just can't go in everywhere and do what he wants to do. He can't just steal, kill, and destroy God's children unless he is given the opportunity and let to do it. And there's a whole lot of Christians that don't believe. They're ignorant, or they've chosen not to believe in the authority that God's children have, and they say we just can't do anything. And there's people that believe it's God doing these things to them. Satan's got them deceived to where it's God taking out your child. What are you going to do? I'm going to serve God, but he might kill my kid. You know, I want to believe in God. I want to be in heaven. I want to be in the family of God, but he might just take out one of my children. That's a pretty hard place to be in. I'm going to love him anyway, even though he's a murderer. Right there, seriously. One of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not murder. But God's going around doing it? It does not even, it doesn't make any sense. If you look at it in Scripture, that is not God, that is the thief. But people have opened the door and said, well, God gives and God takes away. That, yes, that's in the Bible. Job said that. Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible. Job, the Bible is progressive revelation. Job knew as much as he knew. Today, we know there is an enemy, and we know he steals and kills and destroys. We don't have to guess about it. That's not rightly dividing the word. The devil comes to steal and to kill and destroy, and a lot of the body of Christ is saying, we can't do anything about that, or that's God doing that. Well, you going to stop? You going to stop him? You going to stop him doing that if you're opening the door? No, he's going to come in and destroy your household. So there is, we are, yes, in a war. But Satan is a defeated foe.
Amen. Yes. Thank you.
He doesn't have any real power. But we have to stand up and refute him. We have to stand up and resist him. We have to put him in his place. Say, well, I want God to do it. You can't delegate to God what he gave to you to do. Did you hear me? You can't put off on God what he gave to you. God's not going to just get everybody saved. If it was up to him, everybody would be saved. Which one is he not? He died. Jesus died for everybody. But men have to receive him. He gave us authority on this earth. It is illegal for him to just come in and say, whoa, 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 Satan, back off. You can't do that to this person. He can't do that. Otherwise, why didn't he just stop and say, Adam, when Adam sinned, oh, whoa, whoa, wait, wait, do over. Didn't think it would go down like this. All right, Satan, you go back to your corner. Adam and Eve, go back here. Let's unwind this thing. All right, creation number two. Here we go. Now, Adam, Eve, when he tempts you, don't give in. All right, let's go. See how this goes. He can't do that. He gave authority to Adam, and Adam turned around and bowed the knee to Satan. And Satan is the god of this world. We just read it. But Jesus came back and stripped him and took it back. And for the Christian, Satan has no authority over the Christian anymore. But the Christian has to stand up and say, no, you don't have authority over me. And he will challenge. He will lie. He will cheat. He will push. Trying to get you to believe that he does have authority. He can push you around. But we are talking about whether we know it or not, we are in a war. And Satan is going to do his best to try to take out Christians. He does a lot of deception. He tries to weasel his way around, trying to bring lying symptoms, lying situations. Smoke and mirrors, tries to get you divided with people. Say, well, they think this about you. Oh, what about this person? And it's lies. And then this person says, well, I don't know. That person doesn't like me. And that person's not thinking anything about you. They just, you know, had a bad night of sleep and they have a bad look on their face. And then you're thinking they hate you. And so you don't like them. You start treating them like they're doing something to you. And then they start saying, well, what's their problem? And then they say, well, I don't know. I mean, he's not talking to me. So now these people are divided and there was nothing between the two people. It's just Satan in there working deception, working smoke and mirrors, trying to make people think. That's why we have to act on the word of God. And what is true? We talked about that. Is it, you know, you start acting on something, think somebody doesn't like you, is that even true? If you're that concerned about it, maybe you ought to go talk to the person. Well, you know, you gave me this look. I did what? You were just looking really mean at me. What? I didn't mean to be. Everything all right? Well, actually, my daughter's going through such and such. Oh, well, that explains it. But what we've talked about that. What things that are true, but Satan tries to attack and tries to get us off. Verse 4, 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive. Now, as we're getting into this, I want to go back and read to you what we talked about, where it says that Satan is a deceiver and he deceives, and we spent some time on this, but I just want to read this. In this context, the word deceives there, it means to cause to roam from safety or truth or virtue, to go astray, to deceive, to seduce, to wander, to be out of the way. This word means to deceive by leading into error and to seduce. In the Webster's, deceive means to cause to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. So you can see Satan is a deceiver. What is he trying to do? Get us over onto things that are false, that are harmful, that are away from where we're supposed to be. Now in Corinthians, it says the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. So you have the true knowledge of God, and then you have deception. Satan is the deceiver. So what's he going to try to do in these reasonings, in these theories? He's going to try to get people to cause, he's going to try to cause them to roam from safety, from truth, from virtue, all these things that are God. We read in Philippians where things are just and pure and lovely, and so on and so forth. He's going to try to get them to roam from that, to go astray, to be deceived, to be seduced, to wander, to be out of the way. These attacks that Satan has are trying to get people to reason against the true knowledge of God. His reasonings, he brings things against God to try to get men to go away from God. That's warfare that he is waging every day. He will bring thoughts. He will bring lies about circumstances. There are lying symptoms that he'll bring. Push. Try to push on you. Try to get pressure. But the weapons of our warfare in this war, they're not physical. They are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute these arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive. Everyone, when things come in, lies come in, ways of doing things that are contrary to God's word, that the way the world says, we have to filter it with the word of God and say, no, that thought is wrong. No, that thought is not true. No, that thought exalts itself against what is true. I will not be led astray by that thought. No. We have to counter. We have to come against it. And you say, well, I've been doing that. It doesn't stop. It will never stop. Until you're out of this world. And Brother Hagin said, I remember him telling a story, I didn't hear a person on a recording. This lady came up to me, or came up to him after the service, and was saying, I want you to pray for me. And he said, what do you want me to pray for you for? He said, well, I want you to pray that the devil will leave me alone. He said, what do you want me to pray, that you'll die? Because in this life, that's not going to happen. I'm not saying that you have to give the devil glory. He's a defeated foe, but he's also very persistent. If we get to it, I don't know if we'll get to it. But you see with Jesus, the devil came and tempted him. When he's all through tempting, he went away to come back at an opportune time. He didn't go away forever. You You ever notice? You're strong, you're full of the Word, you're getting hit by something, you're just refuting it. Satan doesn't want to be around that. He doesn't want to get his head beat in over and over. He'll leave, but he'll be back. And he does what one of our teachers used to call the pile-up technique. Just start getting a bunch of stuff going in your life at the same time. Boom, boom. You ever had one of those weeks? You started out, it's like the stuff comes, and then the stuff comes, and you're like, all right, you know, I'm doing it. But then another thing comes, and then pretty soon, all right. And then three more, and then you're ready. You're tempted to be like, all right, this is what's going on. That's a tactic. Anybody ever been tempted then? At that point, maybe you don't feel quite as strong as you did when you got out of church on Sunday. Or you just spent 3 days in a meeting. But Satan will return at an opportune time. But what's he going to do? He's going to try to weasel his way in there, try to hit you, try to get you off the Word. He tries to get you. See, he will. These thoughts are going to come. Thoughts come. Somebody said, you can't stop the thoughts from coming. But you can stop them from becoming a stronghold in your mind, you accepting him. You can't stop birds from flying over your hair or your head. But you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. Just because something flies over your head, that's one thing. If it lands and starts occupying and building a home, you're letting it stay too long. It's the same thing with our minds. Just because you had a thought, I had a thought in this area. Satan gives thoughts, pushes. And what did the Bible say? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not all natural. It's not just your brain. It's not just the gray matter firing off things. It's not just that. There is a spiritual realm beyond this. And if you deny the spiritual realm, if you negate it, you're going to be ignorant of some things. You're not going to know why certain things happen and try to relegate it all to the natural and explain it all by the natural. And the Bible clearly teaches that there is something beyond this, and we have to know. It's not sensationalism. It's the truth. We are in a war, and we have an enemy that wants you and I dead. Out of the way. And he's wicked. You've never seen anybody as wicked as he is. Anything you've seen on this earth is just a fraction of how wicked he is. Brutal. Merciless. Talk about killing women and children or doing things. He'd do it in a heartbeat and do it again and again and again and again. He'll never repent. Blow up young people's lives. Lie to them. Deceive them. Dangle something in front of them. Push on their flesh and know full well they're going to end up in an alley. He is wicked. And if we say there's nothing out there, it's just human beings, he's going to have that's a circus. And that's exactly what's going on. And people say, how do we solve these problems? But it's not God. We're not going to look to God. We're not going to come back and say, Lord, show us. Because there is no God. Because there is no devil. And so, yes, the enemy has a heyday with that. He's having a heyday right now in the world. Ripping men's and women's lives apart. Ripping children's lives apart. Lying to them at a young age. Telling them. Lying to them about who they are. Where they come from. What they're going to be. It's wicked. But we, as Christians, we ought to know that this isn't what we can see and feel and touch. This isn't all there is. There is so much more. And so we ought to know that there is an enemy. That he will bring attacks. That he will bring deceptions. We don't have to fear him. We don't have to cower. We have authority over him, but we need to know how to counter his attacks. We need to know what to do, and the Bible tells us what to do. And in this area, in the area of deceptions, in the area of thoughts and reasonings, we need to know what the Bible tells us and how it tells us to refute, how it tells us to deal. The answer is not to run to your room and put a pillow over your head and say, I wish it would just stop, leave me alone, I can't take it anymore. That's not the answer. You will end up worse off when you get through crying and yelling and stomping your feet or whatever. The enemy just knows he is winning. He is making an impact. That won't help. We have to know it's not just natural. That there is spiritual. Now, again, have people gotten weird with that and started doing weird things because they're gonna take this thing to the devil in war against him? Yes, they have, but there is a truth in the middle that we need to know we're in a war. We need to know we have an enemy, but we need to know he's defeated, and we need to know what the Bible says about how to take him on in combat, not make it a bigger deal than it is, just deal with it. No, he has to flee when we take our authority, when we use the word, and then act on it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys all right? Yes. Look at 1 Peter 5. Let's turn over there. Hallelujah. First Peter 5, verse 8, it's on your sheet, too. Verse 8 says, 1 Peter 5, 8, it says, be sober or self-controlled. Be vigilant or watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. It says to be self-controlled. Now, I don't want to overstate this. You can get legalistic with anything. But the Bible says, if we're in a war, and the Bible tells us to be sober, to be self-controlled. If you're in a war, you don't just do anything you want to do when you want to do it because it feels good because you could be shot. Well, I feel like running into this field. What if it's a minefield? Well, I just feel like running. Yeah, but this might maybe not a good idea. We have to control ourselves, right? We have to know. Again, it's not to put fear in us. We have to know the truth. What God has done for us, our authority in Jesus, that we have a liar for an enemy, that he is going to try to attack us, and we have to walk boldly, knowing that, knowing the truth, but walking confidently through it. You can't act like it's not there. Well, I don't want to talk about it. That makes me scared. We shouldn't be scared. If we know the truth, we won't be scared. It's when we kind of know half of the truth. And that's exactly where the devil likes to play and how he thrives. Know he exists, know he can do some stuff, but not know what we can do about it, not know how to handle it. That gets Christians scared. That gets them wanting to think that it's all up to God, that we don't have anything to do with it. And they get them in a position of defeat. Well, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about anything that I would have to do. That's a lie. We have to know what we have to do. Well, I just believe, I just love God, and so it doesn't matter. God's going to take care of it. God can't take care of everything. If he left certain things up to us, we have to take our responsibility. Well, I don't like that. I don't want that. That means that I would have to do something. Yes, it does. But we have to separate the muddiness, and Satan is in this. He's messed it up and muddied it very much in the body of Christ. People have confused what we do and our responsibilities and walking in our authority with works in gaining things from God. Those are two different things. Nobody in here is going to do anything and accomplish anything that's going to give them any more right and privileges in the body of Christ. Because Jesus did it. On the cross. On the other hand, people all over the world, even though God has bought and paid for their salvation, their authority, that he has bought and paid for their privilege to walk over Satan, they have not received it and are not walking in it. And Satan is running roughshod over them and their family. And you go a step further, so if somebody receives Christ and goes and starts walking in the Christian walk, and even if they've heard some things about taking their authority, if we know it, but we don't act on it, then we are not going to have the results. You say, well, I don't like that. I don't want to have to do anything. This is the way the world is. Again, Satan's wicked. He will kill, steal, destroy wherever he's given an opportunity. So what do we need to do? Stand up and say no. You will not do that here. Isn't that what the Bible said here? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he devour. Does it say that he'll go around and he'll kill anybody he wants to, when he wants to do it, because he is the big bad devil, and that's the way it is? It does not say that. It said he'll go about devouring, seeking whom he may. Who's going to let him? Whoever is going to let him, that's who he's going to devour. But what does the next sentence say? Resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him. If there was no sense, if he could just run over you, what's the use of resisting him? That's not going to do any good. If it doesn't make any difference, then why resist him? Why put up a fight? Well, so you look good. Who cares about looking good? You're still going to be crushed. Right? If that were the case. But that's not the case. I said that's not the case. I just can't help it. These thoughts are coming too fast. I can't, these pictures of what the devil is going to do to me, or these bad thoughts, or me losing everything, or my health going to pot, or my kids, being hurt. I just can't do anything about it. According to what you say. I can't do anything. What are you doing? Are you resisting? No, you're saying, I can't do anything about it. Well, I've tried. I understand that, and I'm not making light of it. I'm not making light of the fact that the enemy will push you where it hurts and push that button, but he's still defeated and he's still under under Christ's feet, and we as a body of Christ need to resist him, like it says here, and say, no, that's a lie. I don't care how real it looks. This is a smokescreen. If it contradicts the word, it's a smokescreen. And I resist you. And I resist that reasoning. I resist that argument. It's not the true knowledge of God. God said, I will overcome. Jesus already has authority over all power of the enemy. I am in his family, and I have been given the authority to tread on all the power of the devil. So what you're saying is going to happen to me cannot happen. That is the truth. And I will not believe your lies, and you take it back in the name of Jesus. Amen. Get out of here. Amen. That's refuting the arguments. That's refuting the reasonings. Saying, well, I just can't. No, that's a lie. We're siding in with him and looking at his smoke and mirrors and saying, they have to be true. They have to be true. I just don't see how I can get out of here. And we're negating what the word says. That's why we have to know the word. You have to know, no, the word says this. I don't care what you say. Satan, the word says this, therefore is real. And I'm not saying the attacks aren't real. I'm not saying the symptoms aren't real. I'm not saying the relationship things aren't real. But God's word says that I have victory in these situations. I choose to agree with his word more than your circumstances. I call them lies, and I agree with God. Hallelujah. In the middle of the firefight, not when you're sitting on the sandy beach. Anybody can say, well, yeah, I just believe God when nothing's going on. It's when the bullets are whizzing by and your mind, it feels like a machine gun just hitting your mind with thoughts and all the things that are going to happen to you, and it just looks just hopeless. That's when you have to say, enough. No. That's a lie. Amen. Amen. Anybody say that was easy? It's not easy. But we can all do it. Whoever said everything's easy in this life? But we can stand up and say, no, that is a lie. We have to identify the lie. We push back, and we thank God for what he is doing. Amen.